So we're going to kind of look at a few things, Lord willing, in Ephesians 2. But as you turn there, I just want to read this part of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. All right. And this is verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Okay. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Okay. I kind of want us to kind of think about the fact that he rescued us, okay, and he took us from dark to light, okay, and that's kind of a pattern we're going to see, Lord willing. All right, and I am reading from the NIV, so bear with me, but I'm going to read from Ephesians. Actually, it's chapter 1, and it's good if we just kind of read this whole chapter, but I'm going to start at verse 11 and point out some things from here to the rest of the chapter. Okay. In him we were also chosen, having been predestinated according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, again, to the praise of his glory. Okay, now listen, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and every title that can be given. Not only, and here's kind of where the thought is right here, okay, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, okay, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Okay, so again, okay, he placed them far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion in every title that could be given, okay, not only now in this present age, but in one, it says in the one to come, okay. Now, also, if we go over to the next chapter, and in 2:7, and we should go to 6, okay? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, okay? And here it is, in order that in the coming ages, okay, coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, okay? So, we are in the grace age right now, currently, and it's a tremendous time for everybody, the entire world, not just us grace saints, okay? We reap the benefit of it all. You know that? Of the entire, of everything. It says everything that fills all things, we reap the benefit of, okay? Now, there's a few thoughts here with the fact that in this present age, it says that all authority, dominion, power is under Christ, okay, for the church, for us, okay? We're kind of ahead of time, in a way, as believers of this full counsel of God, okay? Because right now, we're accepting his rest, okay? Right now, you know, he's our Sabbath. And we're receiving that as we yield to him, you know? We kind of sang about the storm and how you can have peace in that, you know? Well, we know Jesus calms the waves and the wind. They obey him, all right? But there's a reason why the sea's contrary, as the word of God says, you know? It's contrary right now. Even though, in all actuality, Jesus has all dominion, power. He's above every name that's out there, okay? We accept that. The world doesn't, okay? They will, and we'll see that. But that's not really the point that has me excited tonight. It's the fact that it's going to take a very long time for him to show us the riches of his grace, you know? And that's what kind of has me excited tonight, okay? Not the fact that every knee's going to bow to him, you know? There's not really going to be a way for people to say, as they do now, who's this Jesus, you know? Or it's amazing. They use his name in every other sentence, but it's not to praise him. Right? Just think about it. Stuff like that's not going to be okay. Okay? All right? But the fact of the matter is, you know, I don't think most Christians know this, but, you know, it says God seated him at his right hand. Right? Well, we know he's there right now as we speak, serving as high priest, you know, making intercession for us. You know, he serves as that mediator between God for us right now. And doesn't that give you peace, accepting that, you know? I mean, he'll do anything for us, you know? But what he does for us is the most right now, okay? He's trying to get us to realize that all of this glory that is to the praise of God is for us, you know? If we're his vessels of glory, which we really are, it can't be displayed all at once. You know that? It's going to take time. It's going to take time for God to do this. And I was thinking about this for this morning and stuff. Like, our whole concept of time is kind of based off of the sun, right? And we kind of almost literally set our clocks to it in a way, the sun. But it says that on the first day, we should read that actually if we go to Genesis 1. And I kind of see this whole entire chapter, the creation, I see this as a type kind of for the dispensations, you know, that God's dispensing right now. We're in the sixth day, also known as the grace age, the church age, the age of grace, definitely, okay? But, you know, if you kind of look at these days of creation, it's almost the same thing. You know he's getting ready to take his rest. But who has to be on the throne for that to happen? Peace. And isn't that so typical throughout the Bible? You know, we talk a lot about the Shulamite. Well, her name even implies peace. And Solomon's name means peace, you know? And when Jesus reigns, it's going to be real actual peace on earth, you know, as it is in heaven. You know, it's amazing. I think almost all modern armies and governments or whatever, one of their missions for them to send troops and military off is to bring peace. But it does the complete opposite, absolute opposite, right? Remember when I was growing up, it was peace in the Middle East. That didn't even come close to happening, right? What a crazy place right now, you know? And it's everywhere because some of the streets I've been in is similar to Baghdad, you know? But we're bringing peace and all these things. I don't care what laws they pass or whatever happens, who's in control, what president, is nothing's going to change. We know what path we're headed on, you know? And I say these things to encourage us because we know what's about to happen. But anyway, okay, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? Now, just kind of think about this. How much time is in between this right here? I don't know. Now the earth was formless and empty, void and without form, right? Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Okay, then in verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and the morning the first day, okay? So that was the first day. But the way we mark time is on the fourth day, right, when you put the sun in the sky. So it's still a day, right? How long did it take him to create? Well, it says days, and that's how I'm going to put it in my mind, okay? And even before that, it's kind of saying that, you know, there's other places in the Bible that says that the earth took a sick spell, you know? The earth was under a sick spell. It was dark and void without form, okay? So he created it, though, right? It says in the beginning God created it, and it was there. But it's kind of remarkable to think about out of darkness, he brought light, right? He reveals it. I remember a brother was here and gave a testimony, some type of scientist, and he said he did a study about light. Oh, you guys may remember this testimony, but he gave like, he had more facts too. I think someone cut him off, but he was going on and on about light and just different facts about light and how light's still there without darkness. You know this? It's just that kind of we have to recognize it that way. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? He shined out of darkness into our hearts, you know? And everything that God does in these days, as we mark it again, is in kind of that pattern, you know? It's in the void. He fills that for us, you know, that emptiness. You know, we're grace saints, so that definitely means that we're needy. And we're, you know, the more that you realize you're empty and weak, I think that's gives us opportunity, right, to submit. And remember, when it says the bride made herself ready, all that means is that she submitted to him, you know? And it's easier to do that when you know you're weak, right? Okay, but that's the kind of the thought here, that it was out of darkness into light. And that's kind of how we're going to mark the day. And so when you're thinking about what God wants to bring to us, this is kind of like it doesn't really show us what he's going to reveal to us, you know? And I was thinking about how, I guess let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, we're going to look at verse 20. Okay, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, and we know Adam, okay, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For in Adam all die. So in Christ, all will be made alive, okay? But it says, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, okay? Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, power, okay? For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, all right? And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when he says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that he does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then listen, then the Son will be made subject to him who put everything under him. Okay, so this is why, so that God may be all in all. All right, and so I kind of think of it this way. He'll reign. We reign with him. We definitely have our place with that, and we're looking so forward to that. Okay, but here's kind of what I've been thinking about. The time that I think that we really look forward to the most is when it's all glory. Okay, remember, he's going to make everything brand new. Right? He says it's brand new. Everything's new. Okay? We'll look at that in Revelations 21, where he says, behold, all things have become new. Okay? And then we see something that's so beautiful, and it's his glory. Remember? Coming down from heaven. All right? But before we get there, I just want to emphasize the fact that, you know, God always had this plan, you know. That's what we first read in Ephesians 1. It was his purpose for him. It was his will for us, okay, for this to happen. And it was revealed to Paul, all right? And so it is amazing. Every message we have is pretty much the same message, I feel like, you know. I think of it this way. If we all stood, there was like a model of the Eiffel Tower right here, exact replica in the middle of the aisle right here. And all of us in here were looking at it. We would have, you know, a beautiful view of it, first of all. But then we each would have a different perspective, right? Not saying that it's changing what it is, right? You know, that's why we need each other. Because we all can share in this perspective. It's all one perspective, right? But I'm just thinking of it this way because we're staring at Christ. I know that's what I'm here for. I hope you didn't come here to hear me. You came to hear the word of God, right? And you know, it used to amaze me how people used to lift up certain vessels, you know. Why? You just want to see them fail? Is that why you're promoting them? Look at anybody too long and you'll see failure. Anybody, except for Jesus, you know. That's why you focus on him. But, you know, my point is that it's all about Paul's gospel, really. Okay, and so we know that Paul was given a revelation, right? And here's the thing that kind of gets to me again. I'm not even gonna lift up Paul too much, you know. Although it was given to him, it was in a way and a manner that you know, if you know anything about Paul's gospel, just believe in it. You're a laborer with him. You know that? Fellow laborer with him. You know, believe in it. Believe in the gospel. That's what it's all about. Just think about it. And here's another thought, too, you can think about, too. You know, God always has stewards for every dispensation in every age. Before this one, it was with Moses and the law. And remember, Moses talked with God as a man, friend, is that what it says? Face to face? Guess who was in there with them? Remember, Joshua was in there. Remember? It wasn't just for Moses. You know that? This message wasn't just for those people with Paul or just for those ministers or anything. It's for all of us. And it doesn't matter if they're in this building. You know, this is the same gospel that's in every printed Bible, you know, across languages. And here we are, we get caught up on language. Jesus was not talking English. Like on every movie, when they go to a far place, they speak English in a miraculous way. That's amazing. They know English. Jesus didn't speak English. It wasn't here yet, right? You know? But that's just the language. Can we really praise him right with our words? I don't know. We do it. It's amazing. That pleases God for us to praise him with our mouth and subject our bodies to him. That pleases him, us, you know. You got to really put into perspective what you are. You know, your vessels are this because of his grace, his undeserved merit for you. Period. Period, period, period. Okay. And so I got distracted. Praise the Lord. Okay, and so just think about it. This all started for Paul at midday. And so I'm kind of thinking about how You can think about where the sun's at in the day, because I don't think it's a coincidence that when Peter started his ministry on the day of Pentecost, remember they said he's drunk, they're drunk. And Peter, one thing he said was, it's only the third hour. And we know we're not drunk. I know some real alcoholics personally, and they drink at whatever time they wake up, you know? They don't wait till 9 o'clock. It's on. And so if he was really a drunkard, I think that had nothing to do with it. But what he was talking about was more about how God was dispensing the day, right? It was early in the church. The real point of the church wasn't revealed until Paul comes, all right? And his revelation came at midday. So this is Acts 26:13. And it's kind of, just think about it. The largest organization in the world that makes the most money ever is the Catholic Church, right? And the kind of the person they look at is Peter, for some reason. I mean, we know he did a lot of stuff, and Jesus did say upon this rock, right? But he didn't have the church message. And we know it was Paul. And so, at midday, or at noon, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven above, and now this is kind of neat, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. Okay? It was only the third hour in Peter's ministry bang, but it was midday. Think about where the sun is. That kind of represents the brightest portion of the day. Now, we know that Paul had a really intense, to say the least, revelation. And I believe that his revelation kind of was revealed in him as his life progressed, you know. That's probably why Ty can spend 13 years studying his life. That's a nice tie back there, by the way. I'm talking about the guy. All right, that's my joke. But seriously, he was, I mean, it's, why do you think it says follow him? Why? You know, he was a great guy. He was smart, wasn't he? He could build those tents. He had this revelation for us, for us. He says this. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. Ephesians 3. Okay. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration or the dispensation of grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading then, you will be able to understand, listen to, it says, my insight, right? His understanding into the mystery of Christ, which was made known, which was not made known to men in other generations, right? But is now revealed. And here's the most important thing that you can hear, okay? By the Spirit, right? That's why you can take it from any type of person. That's if it's the truth. And as a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I got my first scripture for tonight on the way here from some lady on the radio. It's the truth. And it was like, whoops. I kind of felt bad, like, I missed something, God. But then I didn't. That's how he planned it. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, it's the Holy Spirit, you know. And, I mean, look at all the ways the Spirit ministers. All the ways. I mean, goodness. He searches the hearts of men, right? He does. He knows. Sometimes you play a part in that, but more than likely it's a little part. It's true, you know? The Holy Spirit, he is under operation right now. More now than ever before. Guarantee you, right now. And he's getting ready something, okay? And it's about to be revealed. It's not yet, but I got to stay with my notes. Okay, and so, again, this is Paul's revelation to us, but I wanted to kind of think about how when he's seen on that road, he He saw a light above the light of the sun. Can we really think about that? We know it blinded him and all this, but I think it's inferring this revelation, okay, that he had. And we know that light equates to glory over in Revelations 21. But Paul saw in the light of seven complete days, okay? He seen the end result, okay? That's why he can tell us in the ages to come, you know? In the ages to come, you have this glory. Glory. You know, it can't even be revealed to us in this creation right now. You know that? His glory, even though we are the very vessels of it. This is exciting. He has a lot for us to receive, you know? A lot. And that's his whole point. That's what God wants to do, to the praise of his glory. He has to show this to us, in us. Okay? And when I say have to, it's not like you can choose not to go. I mean, you don't have to. But we do it willingly, right? He didn't want robots. You know, he wanted us to go willingly. He wanted us to yield and submit. It makes it better, okay? And, you know, when Paul saw this into this glory, well, let's stick to the scripture. Isaiah 30, 26. This, the moon will shine like the sun, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter like the light of seven full days, okay, when the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounded, heals the wounds he inflicted, okay? So, I think this is the light Paul saw into, okay, that end result there. When the Lord does this, it's kind of like culminating. Isn't seventh the number of completion, right? Complete, perfect. When he culminates and completes his dealings with us, this creation, remember that he made, it's amazing. Everything that this creation testifies of is Jesus Christ. No doubt, no doubt. But there's more than that. I can't believe that there's more for us to even look forward to seeing, you know? But Paul had a vision of this, and that's more or less what this is the bridal message, you know? He wants his glory for us, okay? And so with that being said, I'm going to combine two scriptures, Ephesians 2:7 and Revelations 21:23, okay? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Okay, and then, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For why? The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. Okay? We definitely have our part in that. What he's talking about there in Revelations is what? That city whose builder and maker was God, that was not built with the hands of men, that even kind of caused Abraham to get up, right, and go. He didn't know what he was going for. Look at, and we do. Look at that. Look at that. Isn't that how God is? He's increasing his revelation to us. All of these things in here that happen, you know, I heard there's more.
Whoa.
There probably is, though. I think Paul probably wrote more letters. It doesn't matter. This is enough. For sure, for sure. It's enough. But all of that was for us, you know? All of that Old Testament. I know that, you know, they have a part in it all, too. He said, fellow citizens with the household of Israel. You remember, they have a part in it, too. And we know that, but can you believe that all of this time, he's really trying to get us ready for something? You know, he's getting us ready for this, to be this city, okay, that shined with his glory, that he did lighten, okay? And I guarantee you, this is all about what Paul's revelation is, his ministry, his gospel, his gospel. If you look before that 21st chapter, you see that, I have to make this point that there's a judgment that takes place, right? That great white throne judgment, right? And praise God, we have no part in that. None, absolutely none, you know? But the thing is, we're being judged now. And it's more of, I would kind of think of it more as a reward system, right? And it's not that he's a respecter of persons or he has favoritism or, you know, somebody did this, you know? It's more like, you know, what does your faith accept? It's out there for everybody to take. And I know this is true. Like, if anyone wants to know, they're going to. He's sure of that. He'll even cause your imagination to think of him, you know, and seek that out. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And it's open for everybody, you know. And don't think that because you hear it right now or anything like that, that you're in there, or because of who your grandpa was or anything like that. You know, we accept it, and he's going to challenge your faith, you know, or what is it, they prove it, he'll prove it to you. Someone told me, God doesn't have to prove nothing to you. I was like, thank God he does, though. Really, he doesn't have to prove anything to me, but he does, over and over and over and over and over again, how faithful he is to me. How much he wants me to have all of everything in Christ Jesus. How much he wants me to know how much he loves me. You know? That's what he does. He proves that to me. You know? And so, so that's what this whole entire time and dispensation is all about. That. He's getting us ready, okay? I think I'll close with this thought about the sixth day, and even you can see it in creation, right? We know that in the sixth day, God took the dust of the earth and created man, Adam, right? Adam's name even means red dirt, right? Or from red dirt, okay? But Adam was a type of the church, right? And that's, we read part of that in 1 Corinthians 15. The new Adam, which is the body of Christ. But isn't it ironic that on that same sixth day, out of that sleeping body, he took the rib, right? The part that was closest to his heart, you know? A fit companion, you know, that's what it means. Meat, I think it says meat helper. A fit companion, you know? He wants to share something with us. And I don't think that, you know, in the kingdom age, he can really show it all to us. I really don't think so. I think that even after that, you know, there's an allude, it kind of alludes to that eighth day, the new beginning. It really does. And I believe that's the day when we really have it with Christ, you know, when he really shows us stuff. But all of this happened in the sixth day, okay? What I didn't kind of touch on, and I'll mention it, and I'll let you guys study it out. But, you know, when we were studying all of these dispensations, all of them have, in the evening, or when the sun's not there, or when it's dark, God always has some type of judgment. And we know what's about to happen to this world. We know that. The 7 years of tribulation. Okay? The only encouragement I get out of thinking about the tribulation, this is honest to God, is the fact of what it brings. You know? It brings Israel back. Okay? You know, I was thinking about, Paul went back to Jerusalem for some things. They had a council meeting there in Acts 15. Remember that? And I think it was James who stood up and said that God is just visiting the Gentiles, you know, to take from them a people out of his name, for his namesake, right? Then he's going to turn again, and rebuild those tabernacles that fell for Jacob. Okay, that's their day in a sense. I heard that they're going to evangelize the entire world, the Jews are. You know, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. It's going to be great. You know, we'll be rolling with him, Lord willing. But I just have this sense that after that, it's time for us to get away with Jesus completely in fullness and really get to know him. Really, and you know, he said ages to come. I take that literal, you know. I'm excited about that. And I'm not trying to belittle any other thing, but I just know there's something that God wants for us. And that's really huge. Really, really huge. It really is. And, you know, he stops at nothing to give it to us. You know that? I mean, for me in my life, almost everything testifies of Jesus. You know? I used to wonder how certain, like the littlest, dumbest things you would think. But, you know, I guess that's just him putting me onto the fact he's thinking of me, like Pastor said this morning, you know. It's great. It's great to be a Christian right now, you know. He set us apart for this. It wasn't a mystery, you know. Yeah, and I like this where it says, where sin did abide, grace did abide much more. This is the age of grace. It's abiding much more, much, much more, the most right now. My students say, you're doing the most, Mr. Howard. He's doing the most. It's in me. Greatest miracle right now is what he's doing, okay? And it's going to take a long time for him to even reveal that to us. So praise God for that. And we'll close with that. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, just for your word, Lord, that will never fail, Lord, and that endures forever, Lord, and that is able to build us up and give us an inheritance, Lord. Thankful for the time that you set aside for us to gather in your name, Lord, for the fellowship that's all centered around you, Lord. Just have your way with each heart and mind, and Lord, everyone that hears this message or any message that promotes you, Jesus, we're thankful for. But Lord, just to get in there and get into what are called the deep things, Lord, the places you want to take us, Lord, away and show us those mysteries, Lord, and the secrets, and Lord, just so that we can behold your face, Lord, face to face. We know that that's coming soon, Lord. We're looking so forward to it. Just continue to inspire our hearts to run after you, Lord. And we know the finish line is so close. We just thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus.